our 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, we are inclined to give greater thought to the afterlife, to reflect on where our soul will reside after death. It can be an uneasy reflection because it is a question of eternal importance. We must first ask whether, in fact, there is a hell, or as some believe, is this earthly existence our hell, to which we return time and time again until we evolve to a higher state? Or is hell a place of eternal pain and turmoil? And what about heaven? What is that like? The Bible speaks of three heavens, the atmosphere, the sky, space, including the solar system, observable stars and galaxies, but finally, more often, the location of God's throne. Well, assuming that you become comfortable with your own understanding of heaven and hell, you might wish to ask the question, do you believe you will end up in heaven or hell? And to help us answer that question is my guest. He is Dan Corner. He's an ordained minister and the director of Evangelical Outreach. He's authored The Believer's Conditional Security. Dan Corner, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. It's a real privilege to be here with you.
Now, in your book, you take issue with the concept of eternal security, or the belief that once saved, always saved. Can you explain that for us?
Yes, sir, I can. I believe we are living in a very dark and apostate day. I believe, sad to say, just exactly the fear that Jude had, which he wrote about in Jude verses 3 and 4, has occurred, and that is that the people that change grace into a license for immorality, sadly, now, not only have they slipped in among us, but they have the upper hand. They have the platform for the most part. There are a few places here and there, a few ministries that have not been affected by that, but by and large, the grace that's being presented in our hour is not the grace of the New Testament. It's a different grace, and therefore it's a different salvation. Consequently, there are multitudes of people that think they're going to heaven that are actually on the road to hell, and they must repent. They must turn away from their sins, or they will be lost. But they don't recognize that because of the teaching of eternal security.
And eternal security means what?
Eternal security is known by other names such as once saved, always saved, and perhaps that's the best concise definition of what eternal security is. It's the concept that once you become born again, that you will always remain God's child, and no sin that you would afterward commit, if you would stray into any sort of doctrinal heresy, it makes no difference what you do or do not do, you are guaranteed an entrance into the kingdom of God because of a past moment of regeneration.
So those who would say, I've been saved, and sit back and get comfortable ought not to be that comfortable. Is that right?
That's exactly right. There's a scripture that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 8, verse 21. Jesus said this. He said, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, I've witnessed to at least 1,000 people one-on-one in my Christian life. I'm sure it's way over 1,000. And there are multitudes of people, at least in this part of the country, and I'm assured that that's somewhat the norm, that think because they go to quote-unquote church, or because they were water baptized, or perhaps they pray or read the Bible, that they are on the road to heaven. But they don't recognize the effects of sin, how sin can defile, contaminate, spiritually soil, and even bring a real Christian to a spiritual death. And one of the major problems that I have with people just watching television is that all of the wickedness that would come right into their house by way of the TV. There's blasphemy, there's lusting, there's all kind of worldly values that are antithetical to Christianity, and people seem to be addicted to watching TV. So this is a very serious problem. People that really want to get into the kingdom of God, really what they need to do is to shut off the television. I'm saying shut it all the way off. some people think, well, I could tune in the religious stations and get something, but much of the things on religious TV is really not that sound. I used to do that myself, tune into the religious stations, but we shut it all off and we don't miss it at all. And what people need to do with that extra time is to dig into the scriptures, find out what God wants from them, what their judgment's going to be, like what God is like. And they're going to be very surprised. There's all kind of precious truth, vital truth in the New Testament that they're never going to hear unless they read it for themselves. And I recommend them going to the New Testament, starting to read in the New Testament. Don't just start at the beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament. Jump to the New and read it at least 10 times.
Now, has it not always been this way, Dan Corner? Has something changed? You're suggesting that perhaps the time we live in today is different than 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 500 years ago. How has it changed in your view?
Well, there's a scripture the Apostle Paul gave. It's 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For the time will come," notice it's futuristic, "for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to mythology." And that's what we have, for the most part, in these very large mega churches. It's a social gospel. It's mythology. They're not preaching the message that the Lord Jesus and his apostles gave. It would drive people away. What they're interested in is creating sort of like a little business under the umbrella name of a church, and all under the bigger umbrella of Christianity. And sadly, what is happening is there are multitudes of precious souls that are going to hell. They don't recognize the danger they're in, and certainly the person up there that's not preaching the gospel, and the Bible will call such a person a savage wolf in sheep's clothing, that person up there is not going to tell them what they need to know for them to get clean spiritually so that when they die, they'll enter the kingdom of God. And let me magnify that truth that God looks on the heart, and our heart must be pure. Jesus wasn't joking when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God," in Matthew 5, verse 8.
Well, he also talked about blessed be the poor, and it seems like today's Christian pastors often equate capitalism, good business, high earnings and profits as being almost a blessing from God to those who deserve to be rewarded, not in heaven, but right here on earth.
That's true. There are so many problems, it's hard to shake a stick at all of them, as the old saying would go. Nonetheless, they are here. They're very serious. And you see, a lot of people know. I myself used to pastor for almost 7 years, and I know that when you preach the Word of God, especially at a time like this when people are turning away from the Word of God and they want their ears tickled, they want to hear a pleasant, easy message, a social gospel, it's not going to come back in reward's sake. In other words, there's not going to be a whole lot of people patting you on the back and saying, "That was really a good message. I want to support your church or your ministry." And because of that, because the people in ministry, they're not walking in the fear of God like they need to be walking in the fear of God, sadly, they then compromise at the expense of precious souls. Multitudes that would hear them, their circle of influence is adversely affecting people. And like I said before, they're actually on the road to hell, thinking they're on the road to heaven, especially with this doctrine of eternal security. In my opinion, that's the most dangerous doctrine in so-called Bible-believing evangelical circles in our hour.
What churches focus on that eternal security doctrine? Is that fairly common, or is it more to the to a handful of Protestant sects?
The vast majority of the Baptists believe in eternal security, although there are some that reject it. The Free Will Baptist and the General Baptist, they reject, at least doctrinally, they're supposed to do it, but we're living in such a laxed hour that many of the people that are on the elder board, or even the pastor himself, they don't go by the doctrines that they should go by in their denomination. Besides the Baptist, you would have the Calvinists, and primarily that would take in the Presbyterians. And there are a whole lot of other ones, the non-denominationals. I tell people what you have to do. You need to call the pastor and pointedly ask him a question like this: "Do you believe that King David remained saved when he committed adultery and murder. Now, there are some people out there that would say they reject eternal security, but they would answer that question, yes. They would say, yes, David remained saved in his adultery and murder, which is absolutely, positively a dangerous, poisonous message. And if that man will believe that, sooner or later, in one form or another, it will come out in his teachings. So that would be a congregation you want to make sure that you avoid.
Well, you know, up in this part of the country, we have a lot of Lutherans, and we have a substantial number of Catholics, and there's always been that ongoing intense debate, which has moderated more recently, but we always talked about that the Catholics always suggested that they had to engage in good works, had to earn their way to heaven, whereas the predominant view was that we're incapable of behaving in such a way that would entitle us to salvation, and therefore we must rely upon being saved by Jesus. So that good works, non-good works issue seems to have some parallel to what you're talking about.
Well, what the Bible teaches is actually this: a saving faith will have works with it. But I myself used to be a Roman Catholic. I know firsthand exactly what they believe, and I know why it's wrong. I wanted to stay a Catholic, and what jarred me loose from the Catholic belief was reading the Catholic Bible. And the Catholics, sad to say, they're not focusing their faith and their trust in Jesus. Instead, they're trusting in the sacraments, they're trusting in Mary, they're trusting in being a Catholic, which will be deadly to them. They need to shift their faith from those things to the Lord Jesus, trust in Him 100%. They have to turn from their sins. They're really not sure what the sins are, and they won't ever know unless they read the Scriptures. It's one thing to hear a radio interview like this. They don't know me. I don't know how well they know you. They probably trust you a whole lot more than they do me. So the point is, if anybody would come along and say something, they're really not going to know for sure if it's accurate or not. So I like to tell people, please, please, read the New Testament for yourself. Recognize this truth, that you could be a breath away from your own physical death. You know it's going to happen. Guaranteed you're going to die too. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And our most valuable possession is our soul. It's not our bank account. It's not our reputation. It's not our physical health. There's something much, much more important, and that is your soul and getting into God's paradise kingdom. And if you miss God's paradise kingdom, there's only one other place to go. Purgatory is not in the agenda. The only other place to go is a place that Jesus called eternal fire, eternal punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels, the fiery furnace. We often call it hell. The Bible calls it hell. The actual Greek word, for the most part, is Gehenna or Hades. So hell will suffice. We understand what that is. It's a heaven or hell issue. We're talking about eternity. There's nothing more important. So lay the newspaper down and the magazine. Shut the TV off. Read the New Testament. Get in the New Testament for yourself. Change accordingly. Read it and change accordingly. It doesn't do you any good at all. Just hearing the truth, you must turn away from sin. Put a faith in Jesus that will submit to Him, that will follow Him, that will love Him, that will openly confess Him unashamedly before others as your Lord. And if you have a faith that will do that, where your heart is clean, then you are on the road to heaven. And please don't be deceived by anybody saying anything to the contrary. You might have been saved 5 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 5 days ago, but are you saved now? David was saved. He had salvation. Clearly he had salvation before he was lured astray by the devil to commit adultery and afterwards murder. The man died spiritually. The Bible teaches that can happen. 5 times in Ezekiel, we find it repeatedly in the New Testament. So a righteous person can be brought to spiritual death by sin. This is vital. It's vital that we resist the devil and he'll flee. It's vital that we hide his word in our heart and learn the truth. And so that we won't be deceived. My brother used to be a Jehovah's Witness. That's a very deadly false religion, false belief. And besides them, there are the Mormons out there teaching things that are contrary to the message of the Bible that will bring salvation. And folks, don't go by what the Pope says. Don't go by what the priest says. Go by what Jesus and the apostles said. You're going to be shocked by what you read. And I like to say this. The Bible teaches Jesus is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, not Mary, like the rosary would say. The rosary prayer would say, Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Folks, it's Jesus. He's the one we have to believe on. He's the one we have to trust in. And that means to put your faith in Him 100%. Not Jesus and Mary. Not Jesus and church membership. Not Jesus and going to church. 100% in Jesus.
Well, Dan Carter, when we come back, let's take a peek into those heavenly gates and do a head count. Well, will you end up in heaven or hell? My guest is Dan Carter. He's an ordained minister. He's director of an evangelical outreach. And Dan Carter, if we were able to take a peek into heaven, who would we find there? Would we find a pro rata distribution of Catholics, Mormons, Muslims? Who gets in there? And is there a parallel between the organization to which you belong, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever it might be, and your chances of entering the gates of heaven, in your view?
Well, the Bible does not mention any of these denominations that you just cited. The Bible just simply states very clearly things like I shared before, Luke 8:21. My mother and brothers are those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. In other words, Jesus' spiritual family, they put his word in the practice. Jesus said elsewhere in Matthew 7:21-23, he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God, but only those that do the will of the Father. So we have to do the will of the Father. And let me say this, you brought up heaven. Heaven will be a place for the righteous. So we need to find out, how do we become righteous according to God's word? Again, you mentioned Lutherans and Catholics, and both of them, and some other groups. Sadly, some Protestant groups, they baptize babies. And some of these groups that baptize babies, they actually think that a person is righteous, that they get born again when they get water baptized as a baby. And folks, that's not true. That's not the message of the Lord Jesus. That's not the message of the New Testament. So how do you get to heaven? You have to repent. You put a faith in Jesus, and you follow him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's another way of saying they obey me. And that would supplement the very truth, the glaring truth about salvation in Hebrews 5:9. And this is where we read this. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So Jesus is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So it's not where you were in the past. Where are you now? And let me throw this out, because at the very beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned once you get 50 or 60 or whatever the age might be, the latter part of your life, it's very important for us to know the most important part of your spiritual walk with God is at the end of your life. If you remember when the Lord Jesus was dying for our sins at Calvary's cross, there was a criminal, a thief, that was dying next to him. And that man was a person that was unrighteous, he was wicked, he was ungodly, he was serving the devil, and his identity changed at the end of his life when he repented. Now, of course, nobody knows when the end of the life will come. You might get wiped out in the very next car wreck, or perhaps you're on the verge of a heart attack or brain aneurysm or something else that would take you out of here, so to speak. So we don't know when that moment is going to come. But the point is, the emphasis on what I'm trying to say is, you might have been righteous in the past, and perhaps you backslid. And if you backslid, you need to front slide. In other words, you need to come back like the prodigal did. The prodigal strayed away from the father into wild living to be with the prostitutes. He squandered his wealth, and he came back to the father humbly to serve the father. And we're told in the Bible that we need to turn from our idols to serve the true and the living God. And we're told elsewhere, Jesus himself spoke of the importance of putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So there's a spiritual war that's raging. The devil's not in hell yet. We're talking about something very serious. There's nothing more important. And Jesus said this, it's better for you to cut your hand off, your foot, and gouge your eye out rather than for you to go to eternal fire. Now, you think of the value of your hand and your foot, your eye. I mean, it would go into certainly the millions and millions of dollars if people would have millions of dollars to exchange for their limbs or their eyes. And Jesus put a higher value on entering the kingdom of God and your soul than all of that. And he has the greatest authority. He would know.
Do you have a sense as to the percentage that make it into heaven that are just routine Christians with TV coming into their day every day? Historically, do you have a feel for it? Is this a very difficult heaven to get into, or do 90% of us roll in there because we have good intentions and try our best? What's your sense?
Well, the Bible is very clear on that. It says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through that gate. Straight and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and only few shall find it. That's Matthew 7:13-14. And I like the way verse 14, that's Matthew 7:14, reads in especially two other translations, the New King James or the New Revised Standard Version, because it magnifies, it amplifies, it clarifies a particular word in most translations, like the King James or the New International Version, that's not real clear. And these other translations, New King James, New Revised Standard Version, at least at this verse, Matthew 7:14, shows that difficult is the way that leads to life. Hard is the road that leads to life. So in other words, it's not a bed of roses. To follow Jesus, to be a faithful soldier, to be godly in an ungodly society is not going to be easy. Persecution will come. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, 2 Timothy 3:12. So these things are the norm. This is what we can expect. But folks, you got the best thing going. If you're living for Jesus, if you're following Jesus, you have the best that you could ever have in this life. Even if you're hated, you're driven out of town, and you have to spend the rest of your life living in a cave somewhere because you lose everything, or in prison. And certainly, the best thing that you could ever do is to stay with God. Even if you would be put to the ultimate test, and that is renounce your faith in Jesus to continue to live physically. Folks, for a Christian to die means he's going to make his exit from this cursed age and enter God's paradise kingdom into his presence. So that's good to get out of here. Paul looked forward to his own physical death. He wanted to depart and go and be in the presence of God. But folks, we got to remain faithful. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. And Jesus said to the 12 apostles, the ones that were already saved, Matthew 10:22, perhaps one of my favorite verses refuting eternal security. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will be saved. So we have to endure to the end to get into God's kingdom.
Doesn't sound like too many of us are going to make it.
Well, sir, I'm just preaching the Word of God. The Bible teaches the minority will get in, but let me say this. Even though it's the minority of the overall populace, they're saying right now there are over 6 billion people alive on planet Earth today. Jesus said he's the only way to the Father in John 14:6. In Acts 4:12, Peter said there's only one name under heaven given among men in which salvation's found. So because I believe the Bible, I'm a Christian, I'm going to believe whatever Jesus taught, whatever the apostles of the Lord Jesus taught, that's what I'm going to believe. Some people say, well, you're too narrow-minded for me. All that proves is, like that scripture I referred to before, there's going to be a time when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. They like to think there are many ways to heaven, but the Bible says there's only one way. It's a narrow way. It's a hard way. You'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. There'll be trouble. Absolutely, positively. But I'd like to say this. There's peace. There's joy. I've never had a better existence. I got saved over 30 years ago. So I've been living the bulk of my life for God. The excitement, the peace, the joy, it's wonderful. It's not stale. It's not boring. It's wonderful to serve God. The rewards are fantastic. While it's true there'll be trouble, folks, there's trouble that will rain down on anyone. The most ungodly person is going to have a lot more trouble than a godly person, at least at this moment in time. Of course, if society would change, as perhaps it did hundreds of years ago, where they focus in on persecuting and killing Christians, well, if that happens again, obviously, it will be a lot rougher road than it is right now. But folks, this is the only road to paradise beyond the grave. We got to think about eternity.
Wrapping up here, and it sounds like we know that only one-third of the world is Christian, and of those, you're suggesting only a few will make it. But your basic question, will you go to heaven or you go to hell? Boy, you're carrying a pretty dark message for hundreds of millions of people, but that's why you're on the program, Dan Corner. You're an evangelist, and you're trying to spread the word, right?
That, sir, is exactly right. And I'd like to say this. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Christians are to go by the Word of God, the Scriptures. It's given for correction, doctrine, training in righteousness, and reproof, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We got to go by the Bible, or we're apt to be deceived.
Corner, thanks so much for being on my program. Again, Dan Corner, author of The Believer's Conditional Security. Thanks again for being on my program.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Bye-bye.